wonderful I'll proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him.
Sing.
On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free, and made me free.
221. I hope you all have found a friend in Jesus.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. Tells me every care on it to roll.
Hallelujah.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he by his power. Oh, all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore. Through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire above me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Great is the Lord, he's holy and just, his power in just his love. Great is the Lord.
One we haven't done here yet. Could we stand? Thank you, Paula Rose.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break
every stronghold.
Jesus, your name is healing. light. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is light.
Let's do it again.
Jesus, your name is power. Oh, yeah.
and put your trust in Christ. Choose that today. Make that choice today. Even as we sing the chorus here, make that choice that you put your trust in Him and follow Him from this day forward. It's the best choice you'll ever make in your life. Won't necessarily smooth out things, but it'll make it easier to cope. And He is a good leader. Hallelujah.
In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of your cross. In every victory, let it be said. Source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of
the The scripture today is Job chapter 38 and verse 22. Would you turn there, please? Job chapter 38 and verse 22. The reason why the clock is taken down from the wall is not because I plan on preaching all day, but because the battery quit. Maybe I'll preach until my battery quits. Nah. Job chapter 38 and verse 22. When you find it, would you stand, please? We'll give reverence to God's word this morning. I'm actually reading just a part of that verse, the first phrase, the first question, really. Notice that it is a question. Job chapter 38 and verse 22. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Father, we thank you for the treasures of the snow. And we pray, Lord, that you would open your treasure box today and help us to see inside, to see what is there and what exactly these treasures of the snow are, that we would be able to take these treasures for ourselves and use them in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many of you like the snow? Let me see your hand. Most of you. How many of you, like me, like the snow less as you get older? Most of you, much less, yes. When we are children, it's fun to get out and go sledding and sliding in the snow. And even when I was young, I was talking about this the other day. You know, there wasn't a snowstorm that would stop me if I wanted to go somewhere in my car. I remember one particular Thanksgiving, it got to snowing really bad. And we hadn't made plans for Thanksgiving except to stay home. I saw the snow and I saw the blizzard coming and I said to Debbie, let's go to your parents' house. She thought I was crazy, but when I was young, I liked to be out in the snow, and I liked the challenge, but as I grow older, I think I'd like to hibernate all winter long, if that was a possibility. And so I have to remind myself, as I look at the snow, that God says there are treasures in the snow. Treasures of the snow. What are some of the treasures of the snow? Well, the first treasure is that snow is cleansing. Snow is cleansing. Psalm 51 and verse 7. David said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Don't you like that first snowfall? That's my favorite snowfall. Before the snow gets dirty and it gets mixed in with the mud and the salt and the dirt that they put on the roads and everything, that first snowfall is so clean, so beautiful, so white, falling down from the sky and landing on our lawns. David considered his sin and then the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And he thought again, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I shall be as clean. I shall be as pure. I shall be as white as snow. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God himself says, come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Actually, the scarlet sin, I believe, is the sin of adultery. It's the sin of the strange woman. Like people in Isaiah's time were committing spiritual adultery by chasing after strange gods. First the strange woman, then the strange gods. And though your sins be as scarlet, God says, though you might chase after strange gods, though you might have other gods that you have put before me, if you come to me and repent and confess of those things, confess of your spiritual adultery and your pull to these strange gods, he said, I will not only forgive you, but I will take those scarlet sins and I will place them in the blood of my son Jesus, and your sins shall be as white as snow. Like the chorus says, I really love that chorus that we sing here. White as snow, though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know, not I think, but Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven. Remember the three ways? Through the power of your blood, through the wonder of your love, and through faith in you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that I can be white as snow. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. If you haven't been, I would encourage you to do that today. Go and seek the Lord and ask for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you and to go to the cleansing power and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Snow is cleansing. Number two, snow is warming. Snow is warming. Psalm 147 and verse 16. He giveth snow like wool. He giveth snow like wool. Now, if you are crazy enough to go winter camping, I have never been that crazy. Anybody want to admit that you've been that crazy? Anybody gone winter camping? You guys. If you are crazy enough to go winter camping, you will probably want to dig a tunnel in the snow, because believe it or not, that will keep you warmer. God's presence is warming, isn't it? Just to be in the presence of the Lord is warming. It's like coming in from the bitter cold and sitting in front of a fireplace. And there's something warming about forgiveness, isn't there? When you go to the Lord and you confess your sins and you repent of your iniquities and the Lord forgives you, there's such a warm feeling that comes over you just to know that your sins are forgiven. Snow is warming. In the presence of God, there is warmth. And forgiveness, there is warmth. And then snowflakes are unique. Snowflakes are unique because of the infinite variety of weather conditions. Every snow crystal is unique. Do you know that there are not two snow crystals that are exactly the same? They are all different. They are all unique. Yes, each snowflake has six sides, but that's about where the similarity stops, because each individual snowflake has a unique pattern that is built into it. Do you know that there are not two people in this world that are completely alike either? We are all unique in that none of us are exactly the same. Do I have an amen for that one? Aren't you glad that there are people that are not the same? There is variety in individuals and in personalities. What makes people different? Well, yes, our looks, the way God created us, our personalities are different, but we are also different because God allows different weather conditions in our lives. And so He forms a unique pattern in each of us. We go through situations in our lives that are not the same. We have different trials. Some of us go through hotter things than others, hotter trials. And so God allows these situations in our life. He is molding us. He is making us into the image of Jesus Christ. But even so, all of these weather conditions that He allows and that He brings make us to be unique individuals, not the same. Are you different than where you were 10, 15, 20 years ago, even if you were a Christian? Hasn't God done things in your life to cause you to mature? Things in your life that He has brought about change, and you are not the same person that you were. You are a unique individual. The storms in your life are necessary. The blizzards in your life are necessary. The howling winds are necessary in your life to make you into what God wants you to be. God controls the weather in your life so that He can make you into a unique expression of Himself. You know, I'm kind of attracted to offbeat people. Those who see things just a little bit differently. Sometimes they come from a slightly different time zone, it appears. Once lived John Ringling North. You've heard of him, the circus owner. One day he was interrupted at lunch by a fellow who cried, "A leopard has escaped. What shall we do?" Realizing that there were helpless people around, North responded, "Find that animal and shoot him on the spot." The fellow stopped for a moment, turned and asked Mr. North, "Sir, which spot?" My kind of guy. Did you ever hear of a fellow named Ehud? Lived in the days of the Old Testament. Came from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a left-hander. Ehud was a southpaw. And God used him in a singular way, a remarkable way, to bring deliverance to Israel from an oppressive nation. You'll find the story in Judges chapter 12. Ehud was the last man in the country you would have looked for to exercise some kind of dramatic heroism, which just proves that you cannot tell a book by its cover. You know, you and I so often misjudge a person's abilities or even their walk with God. But Ehud was creative, and God used him to bring freedom and deliverance to his nation. You know, thank God for creative people. Unfortunately, they are not always welcome in the Christian community, especially when they appear ahead of their time. Often the church does not want too many of them around, for they tend to rock the boat. And the saints quote that well-worn verse from the book of Lethargics, "We have never done it that way before." Now, I'm not going to tell you Ehud's story. You can read it for yourself. But if you're kind of a slightly offbeat person, if you're a little bit different, God can use you. God can use you. You say, well, I'm different. So is Ehud. Old lefty. Almost single-handedly defeated the dreaded Moabites. God used him. And I want you to know that God will use you too. God will use every single person here if you will allow him to use you. And God will enable you. And so be encouraged. You might think, you know, I really don't have much talent. I don't really have much ability. I would be the last person somebody would choose to bring about something good. I would be the last person anybody would think about to change my world or to change my church or to change my family or to do some heroic thing for the Lord. Be encouraged. By the way, do you know that we need an Ehud today? Our country so fits the book of Judges because the theme of the book of Judges was everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Isn't that exactly what's going on in our nation today? Isn't that exactly what's going on in our world today? Everybody is doing that which is right in their own eyes. There is no law anymore. We've discovered that. If you don't like the law, what do? You just change it. You set a new precedence. And law has been thrown out the window. Our Constitution is in danger of being thrown out because some judges think that they are above the Constitution and they are above the law. And they can interpret it and they can apply it in whatever way they seem fit. They are doing what is right in their own eyes. We need somebody. We need an Ehud. We need somebody who is creative enough to be able to shed some light upon this thing and to bring freedom to our nation once again. It was Joseph Stalin who said, "The people who vote decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything." Joseph Stalin, a communist nation. How close are we? How close are we? By the way, how many Floridans does it take to change a light bulb? They don't know. They're still counting. And finally, snow is transparent. Snow is actually transparent. It appears white, but it is actually transparent, although reflection from many sides of it, its crystals make it appear white. As Christians, we need to be transparent. We need to allow people to see Christ in us. Jesus is dressed in white raiment. That's why they see whiteness. Although we are to be transparent, they would see the whiter than snow effect because of Jesus. Mark chapter 9 and verse 3 says, "And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them." I gave this illustration once before. Many of you have not heard it. I'd like to repeat it again today. It happened one Sunday as they were driving home from church. A little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, there's something about the preacher's message this morning that I don't understand." The mother said, "Oh, what is it?" The little girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. He said God is so big that he could hold the world in his hands." "Is that true, Mommy?" The mother replied, "Yes, honey, that's true. But mommy, he also said that God comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Is that true too?" Again, the mother assured the little girl that what the pastor had said was true. With a puzzled look on her face, the little girl then asked, "If God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" That's exactly the way it's supposed to be in the Christian life, right? God is supposed to show through. He's supposed to shine through. His life is supposed to be seen in each of us. And really, that's what the Beatitudes are all about. God showing through us. We having these attitudes, these Christ-like attitudes. As we demonstrate them to the world and to each other, people will see Christ living in us. It's always been God's purpose that when he entered our lives, he would be allowed to so fill and control us that he would show through, that he would be visible in our attitudes and our actions, not that we would imitate Christ. I get quite irritated with that word sometimes. People say that we are to imitate Christ. You know what? Somebody who imitates somebody usually makes fun of them. We are not to imitate Christ. We are not even to try to do the things that Jesus would do. But we are to let Christ himself live in us and through us. Jesus Christ himself should be allowed to live through us. Because nobody can be like Jesus can. Nobody can be like Jesus than Jesus. And by the Holy Spirit, he came to live in us that he might live through us. And when he does, others see the image of Christ shining through this veil of flesh. Does anybody see God showing through me? If they did, they would know what he would look like. Does anybody see God through you? Because if they did, they would know what God looks like. They would know because the Beatitudes are a self-portrait of Christ. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," he was meek. When Jesus said those attitudes, those Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." We could go on and on. When Jesus said those Beatitudes, he himself demonstrated those Beatitudes. And when Jesus comes and lives inside of us, he puts his self-portrait there. And people look at us living out those Beatitudes, and they see Jesus. Again, nobody can be Jesus like Jesus can. And so we have to yield ourselves to his control and let him live his life through us. The happiest people in the world are those who yield themselves to experience the grace of God every day. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are the ones that are comforted. They are the ones that inherit the earth. They are the ones that are filled. They are the ones that obtain mercy. They are the ones that see God. And others see God in them, for they are called the children of God. The people who are the happiest in the world are those that have these Beatitudes. Because the word blessed really means spiritually prosperous and happy. How happy and spiritually prosperous are those who have these Beatitudes in their life? They also lead the most fulfilling lives because God makes them into a complete person. And so the question comes down to this: are you allowing God to so control you and fill your life so that he shines through? Not that you're trying to live the Christian life in your own strength and your own power. Not that you're trying to imitate Christ, but you are actually letting Christ live his life out through you. That's a big difference. A big difference. We sang in Christ alone, "Let every victory, let it be said of me. My source of strength is who? It's Christ. My source of strength is Christ alone. It's not me. It's not anything that I can do. But it's Christ living his life out through me. It's Christ's strength overcoming my weakness. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Are you allowing God to control you and fill you so that he shows through? You know what he looks like. You know what Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. What's he talking about? He's talking about the quality of life, the attitude that he exhibited while he walked upon this earth. His portrait is in the Beatitudes. If you are not allowing the Lord to control you and fill you, why not take the first step and yield yourselves to the Holy Spirit of God? That's what we have to do. We have to yield ourselves. Lord, I yield myself to your control. Would you have the Holy Spirit come into me and fill me and make me Christ-like? Make that your prayer today. And you will find out that as you yield yourselves to the Spirit of God, that you will be able to experience these qualities and the blessedness and the happiness and joy and the spiritual prosperity that goes along with them. Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Have you been cleansed by the snow? Have you been warmed by the snow's presence? Have you recognized your uniqueness and allowed God to bring storms into your life so that he could make you like no other snowflake, like no other person? His design for you is different than anybody else's design. Have you yielded to that will of God? Have you yielded to that design? And then finally, are you transparent like snow? When people look at you, do they see the portrait of Christ? Those are some of the treasures of the snow. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Is there anybody here, first of all, that you have not been cleansed by the snow? There is sin in your life. You've not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, will you come into my heart? Will you forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from my unrighteousness? You've not done that before, but you would like to do that today. Could I see your hand? Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Christ. I want to receive the cleansing this morning. I want forgiveness. Anybody? Just by a raised hand. Anybody at all? Is there anybody here you're struggling against the storms of this life? You've rebelled against some of those storms. Amen. You want to yield yourself today to the working of the Holy Spirit. God will take you through the storm. Jesus will be there. He'll take you through. But it's just a way of making you unique, different than anybody else. It's a way of making you like Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Lots of you today. Right now, just say, Lord, I yield myself to your control and to the storms that come my way. Thank you for making me unique. Thank you for giving me a life message, a unique message that I will be able to share with others. Nobody will have that message but you. What a privilege to be able to have a unique message given by God to share and to help others. And then, is there anybody here that you're like me? You say, Lord, I want more of your Spirit so that I could be more Christ-like. I want people to see Christ's portrait when they see me. My hand is up, yours today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for those that have raised their hand today. And Lord, we thank you for the treasures of your snow, that we are cleansed, that we are warmed, that we are unique, and that we are transparent. Continue the work of the Holy Spirit in each of us as we yield ourselves to your control. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus. White as snow, white as snow.
White as snow, white as snow. Though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven.
Through the power of your blood.
Through the power of your blood.
Through through the wonder of your love. Practice today? The young people have practice at 3 o'clock. Young people have program practice at 3 o'clock. Brian Ewing, would you please dismiss our service in prayer? God bless you all.
Quieter than